The White House, and even the new head of the US Environmental Protection Agency, denies climate change. In fact, in August, the United States gave notice that it intends to withdraw from the Paris Agreement as soon as it is legally eligible to do so, in the year 2020. But a week and a half ago, the official US government turned up in Bonn, arguing that global warming, the global warming that their leader says is a hoax, could be addressed by investing more in coal and nuclear energy. Welcome to Understory, this 15th day of November 2017. I'm Elizabeth Poe. In the next few weeks, listen in as Understory reflects on the fate of the Earth as climate changes. Which is timely, as this week in Bonn, Germany, the 2017 United Nations Climate Conference is convening. The 23rd Conference of Parties, or COP23, in Bonn, brings together leaders of national governments, cities, states, business, investors, NGOs, and civil society, a gathering of humanity in one place, committed to meeting the ambitions of the Paris Climate Change Agreement. The one and only appearance of that US delegation at the fortnight-long COP23 came down to a panel of top American energy executives extolling fossil fuels. But as they spoke of clean and efficient fossil fuels, dozens in the audience rose to sing in opposition. The songs went on for more than 10 minutes. One song's lyrics included the line, "So you claim to be an American, but we see through your greed." Protesters then withdrew, joining hundreds of other protesters outside, leaving the room looking rather empty. But as the officials extolled the benefits of burning coal, more in the audience leapt to their feet and challenged and sometimes mocked the strategy to reduce carbon emissions by burning coal. But the official American approach was not only present in the Bula zone, reserved for national governments. In the civil society area called the Bonn zone, a phalanx of young Americans emerged to argue in favour of acting on climate change through nuclear energy.
I'm Marcus Atkinson, and I've just got off the plane. I've been over at the No Nukes World Social Forum in Paris for 4 or 5 days, and then over to the COP23 meeting in Bonn for the last week.
Today we're talking about COP23. Why was it important?
After being there, I really realised how much more important it was than I thought. There was a huge amount of young, mainly American people there belonging to different organisations who are there to really try and push nuclear power into the COP23 meeting as the solution to climate change.
So the Americans were there on with their single panel arguing in favour of nuclear power. What's going on?
I don't know. They're all a bit mad, I think. I want to say, it was really interesting. There was two particular groups which were called Atomic Generation and another group called Nuclear for Climate. And it was primarily young American crew, but we went to some of their workshops and asked some hard questions that they had no answers to. But their whole workshop was about how to market nuclear power. It's this crazy thing where they're saying, their grassroots, this guy that we were arguing, debating with, was saying, "But I'm just a grassroots activist like you. I sleep in the back of my car. I'm just doing this because I realized nuclear is the only solution to climate change." But they don't know anything about nuclear power. And it's like they've just got this kind of job or something.
So is this an AstroTurf exercise, fake grass, fake green?
Oh, definitely. Because on the other hand, UNEP, the United Nations Environment Programme, they refused a huge donation from the nuclear industry to be part of their presentations and part of all their booklets that were getting handed around. And it was quite controversial with these young, like Atomic Generation and Nuclear for Climate. And they actually were starting up a petition to try and get that UN program to accept nuclear power. But it's a huge controversy. I think even within a lot of the discussions that we went to, it was really good that it kept getting brought up, and a lot of the news articles were not just referring to fossil fuels, they were referring to fossil fuels and nuclear all the time. And we had a huge march on the Saturday, which was a climate change march, but it was probably 2,500 people, but I reckon like half the people there were carrying like no nuclear banners and everything. And it was awesome to be there with like a huge international delegation that was coming under the banner of Don't Nuke the Climate, and a lot of people from Germany, of course, but people from India, people from Turkey, people from Russia, people from all over.
For many environmentalists concerned about climate change, the low emissions of nuclear power plants might seem attractive, but carbon emissions at the time of construction and in the decades of decommissioning undermine any benefit from the few decades of electricity production, and the problems of nuclear waste and proliferation remain unaddressed. Understory reporter Adrian Glamorgan spoke to Marcus Atkinson last night, just as the anti-nuke campaigner had got off the plane at Perth, to ask him about the new American climate change policy being played out in civil society quarters.
We set up a big installation in the centre of Bonn, and we were a bit worried about the police. We didn't have permission for it and that. And then the police were fine, and they were saying to us as well, we need to keep nuclear out. It seems like that transition that's happened within Germany towards renewable energy, like nearly the whole population that I ran into seemed to be completely against nuclear and were so happy of the direction that Germany was taking or is taking, and is just hoping that the rest of the world can follow that lead. So even the police were really supportive of this installation we were doing. When we had the 2,500 people walking through the centre of Bonn and that, the police were really supportive of that as well. And it seems like that nuclear power lobby is just getting less and less and less. And I think probably going to Germany to promote nuclear power was one of their worst mistakes.
So about climate change, are you hopeful about the level of commitment that's happening or innovation? Are you getting a sense that many countries are now taking climate change seriously, or is it a mixed story?
I reckon it's still a bit of a mixed story. I think definitely like we were talking with people from Switzerland and people from Taiwan and that who are phasing out like nuclear, but there is a lot of concern still that those countries will replace that with coal and oil and other things. So I think we need to really stay on the front foot and really push like a much more like solar, wind and consumption and other things. But I reckon like it's definitely moving in our favour at the moment, especially like Australia come up all the time with Adani was really big over there, and Australia's whole promotion of clean coal and stuff like this, and people asking me all the time, like, what's wrong with Australia? Like, you have so much solar or so much sun, like you have the possibility for a huge amount of solar, and everyone knows that like 80% of the population lives on the coast. They're like, why isn't wind and why isn't solar and wave energy and all these things like much higher on Australia's agenda than just pushing coal? And I think this is a bit of a case around the world that we really need to be quite careful with this.
India and China, what sort of role are they playing at the moment, given that America seems to have gone missing?
India is really scary at the moment. Like, I knew that there was a push for nuclear power over there, but I didn't really understand like how big that actually is, because it's nuclear deals with Russia, it's nuclear deals with EPRs from France, it's nuclear deals with US companies, and there's plans for like 50 and 60 nuclear power plants throughout India. Plus the water usage. One thing that really impacted me, I think, about India that Kumar was talking about is that there's riots over water in places every year. And water is getting more restricted, and the amount of water that these nuclear power plants would use if they were built in the future, there's no water to actually run as the cooling system and stuff for it. So it's a huge problem, and there's that whole connection of India pushing for that with like nuclear weapons and how all that works. I think for me, like, I learned quite a bit, actually, because we've always had this argument around nuclear power and nuclear weapons, and I've kind of thought, well, there's enough plutonium stockpiled and there's enough of this to be able to build as many nuclear weapons as countries want to build. But talking with some of the people from Germany and the UK and that, and especially the UK, they were saying there's just been a whole bunch of documents released about how nuclear isn't really the solution, but they need to keep doing nuclear, more so to train nuclear physicists and nuclear engineers, so as they have that education base to be able to keep building nuclear weapons in the future if they need to. And I think everyone knows we can move away from nuclear power, but there's a huge connection there that needs a bit more research around nuclear power and nuclear weapons.
And China, did you get any exposure to Chinese diplomacy?
No, there wasn't a great deal of stuff there from China that we came across. After the press conference that I did and after one of the where we intervened in the atomic generation and that, there was a couple of Chinese journalists that come and talk to me and gave me their business cards, and that'll be over the next week and stuff. I'll try and contact them and get some more information happening around that.
Understory reporter Adrienne Glamorgan is speaking to anti-nuclear activist Marcus Atkinson, who arrived last night back in Perth from Bonn, where the nuclear industry tried to turn climate change to its own ends.
That real strong grassroots movement in Germany is coming a lot from the nuclear waste. Like, there's all these abandoned salt mines and different things that have the nuclear waste. And that push for a nuclear-free Germany with no nuclear power is really coming from that sense that they have really understood and realised how big of a problem this nuclear waste issue is, and that they just can't deal with it, and that it will cost them a fortune in the long run just to clean up the mess that they've made now. Like, that grassroots movement throughout Europe is really growing, and there's really good connections being made between the no nuclear power camp and the coal camp, and that was really evident in 4,500 people going in to one of the biggest coal mines in Germany that was just 50 kilometers away from Bonn, and it was 4,500 people from all over the place. But at that, there was heaps of people with "don't nuke the climate," like, that's not a solution. And there's that real connection between fossil fuels and nuclear. And I think we need to build on those connections in Australia a lot more.
Anti-nuclear activist Marcus Atkinson. By this time next week, when we bring you our interview with Dr. Andrew Glickson, we'll have an even clearer idea about where the world is heading.
They are happening before our eyes. What more do we want? Do we want more hurricanes, more fires, further sea level rise? It's accelerating, it's rising. Of course, in some parts of the world, such as in Canberra, ACT, we feel relatively secure. But remember what happened in 2003? This was not a bushfire. This was a firestorm. And I was actually there. It wouldn't have taken much for the whole city to burn.
The 2017 UN Climate Change Conference says it aims for, quote, further, faster ambition together, unquote. Re-listen and share past programs online by Googling Understory blog. I'm Elizabeth Poe. Thanks for joining us today, and tune in same time, same planet next week, as there's always more to explore with Understory.